Merry Christmas. So, my goal here is to do just a pretty short Christmas message. I know when you're watching a video where the scenery doesn't change a lot, we don't want really long, lengthy things. And as we head into the end of the year, really, we don't have much time left until we'll be in 2022, at which point we'll resume our walk through the book of Colossians. But as we end the year, we're hoping to meet in person, but sadly, I believe I have COVID. Woke up with no taste yesterday. And so we'll do it this way. And then for those of you that can join, we'll meet on Zoom at 5 p.m. today and just do a little bit of encouragement face to face as we can't see each other in person and haven't been able to for a little while now. It's kind of a bummer. But here we are. So when we say these words, Merry Christmas, how do those resonate with you? Are you feeling like, man, this isn't very merry? This is a pretty bummer kind of way to end our year. At least that's maybe how I feel. But hopefully, just one verse I want to unpack for you today, a Christmas kind of message for you. This passage comes from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. So this is 1 Timothy 1, 15, just one verse I want to unpack for us here today, which I think is a very appropriate Christmas message. Here's the verse. It goes like this. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. This is the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible. That's the way that they put it. Some will put, I am the foremost, I think is the way the ESV or the English Standard Version translates that last line there. So this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. So against this text, as our theme for today, we're basically just trying to answer this question that the world pauses December 25th, at least in the West here, to observe this day. We call it Christmas. And what does that mean? Why did Jesus come into the world? Well, 1 Timothy 1:15 tells us. So this is written by Paul, who wrote a good section of the New Testament, who wrote Colossians, the book we've been walking through but paused for Advent. We'll resume in the beginning of the year, the first Sunday of the year, we'll pick up there. So Paul's writing to this young pastor, Timothy, and telling him, this is a very important message. Remember this. This is why Jesus came. He unpacks that for us. And so that's what we're going to do today. Just for 10 or 15 minutes here, we're going to talk about this saying that's trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. All right. What does that mean? Trustworthy, deserving of full acceptance? Well, trustworthy. You can put your trust in this. You can bank on this. You can trust it, believe it. It's deserving of full acceptance, not half acceptance. This is something worth banking your future, your eternity on, in essence, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. He didn't come to be a good teacher, although he was the best teacher, right? How does that feel? How does that sit with you if you're thinking, man, I'm a teacher? Maybe some of you watching this are teachers and you're thinking, that's what I'd like to be, is the best teacher I can be. Jesus was actually the best teacher that the world has ever known, yet he didn't come predominantly to be a teacher, right? He came to save sinners. That was his reason for coming. That was the purpose that he came for. He was the best teacher, but that wasn't the primary reason that he came. Some would look at the New Testament, the Gospels, the stories or accounts of Jesus's life, and they would say, he wasn't God. He wasn't Savior or Messiah. He was somebody who came to teach us how to live a good moral life. That was his reason for coming. You can point them to this verse, 1 Timothy 1:15, and say, actually, the Bible says that he came into the world to save sinners. His whole reason for coming wasn't to try and teach us how to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, to teach us how to live good moral lives. It wasn't to be a moral example, although he was that. He was the best teacher that the world has known, but that wasn't his primary purpose, his primary reason for coming. His coming into the world was to save sinners. So this child that we celebrate, this baby born in a manger, the God of the universe come in flesh, vulnerably born in a manger. He came not to be a good teacher, not to be the best rabbi the world had known, even though he would be that again, but he came to save sinners. That's why he came. I love the humility that this invokes upon us, right? If you were thinking like, I want to be a good teacher, I look to Jesus. That's great. It's a great example to look to. But you'll never be as good as him. But that wasn't his primary reason for coming, right? You're thinking like, that's my whole purpose in life is to aim towards being the best at what I can do. Everything Jesus did, he was the best at. Yet that wasn't his primary reason for coming. Deserving of full acceptance. This is something we can bank on. He came into the world to save sinners. The question then has to be asked, are you a sinner? In my mind, as I'm thinking, as I'm preparing for this message throughout the week, and really the weeks before now, I knew I was gonna teach this text months ago, was really excited about it. In my mind, I'm thinking through like, who's going to be with us? Who's going to be joining us on Christmas Eve? A lot of times on Christmas Eve, you have people come that are guests, family, friends, visitors that don't normally join you normal Sundays. I know some people, some Christians get a little self-righteous around Christmas time and they think like, well, I'm in church every Sunday and some people are not every Sunday. And so they feel they can, the devil wants to boast, for us to boast, to puff us up and feel like, man, I'm better than some of these other people because I'm at church most Sundays and these people here are only here twice a year, right? You get the Christmas and Easter type folks, the friends and family that'll visit, to which I say, that's great. We shouldn't feel better than others because of our church attendance. As this text tells us, when we ask this question, are you a sinner? Hopefully, if you are a frequent attender of church, you're there because you realize the need you have, right? You're there just because you recognize that you need something that God provides, that he gives grace to us, and that you're no better than those sitting next to you, right? So to lighten the room a little bit, I wasn't hoping to be doing this message via video exclusively, but here I am. And so I'll say what I was going to say, even if I'm not in person with people, which is this. Some folks might feel like, if you're those people that don't go to church very often, like, I don't belong here. This isn't the place for me. The church is not my people. It's not where I belong. To which we point to this text here, 1 Timothy 1:15, that we're unpacking here, that the guy who wrote this, Paul, says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then he goes on to say, and I am the worst of them. So just to let you breathe a little bit, if you're feeling like these are not my people, I'm not a holy person, you can look and say the guy that wrote most of the Bible, most of the New Testament, actually says you're not that bad because I am the worst of sinners. I am the worst of them. Really good news, really encouraging if you're thinking like, man, I don't belong here. I don't belong in God's house. You don't know what I just did. You don't know what my life has looked like. I say, well, it's probably not as bad as Paul's. I actually know some people that I've known, a lot of people as they study this, people that you meet in church circles. I think it's a really good practice to think, if you read this, I think most Christians should read this verse and think of themselves, this applies to me. The more you get closer to God, the more you experience Jesus and his grace, the more you look at this verse and say, I know what that's like. I'm the worst of sinners, right? We should read this as Christians and think, this verse is speaking about me. I'm a bad sinner, but Jesus came to save someone like me. I don't know if you've ever heard of a guy named John Bunyan. You probably have. He wrote a book called The Pilgrim's Progress. I'm told it's one of the, I think it's the best-selling book outside of the Bible. So the second best-selling book of all time, with the Bible being the first. And he wrote this book, The Pilgrim's Progress, which is kind of a story, an allegory about the Christian life in many ways, a very universal sort of telling of the Christian life. He wrote that in prison. He was in prison for 12 years in which he was pastoring a church. He was a very reluctant pastor. He didn't want to be a pastor, but God called him to the pastorate and he was faithful in that work. The other book he wrote while in prison was called Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. He had read this verse and felt that about himself. Like, I'm not called to be, I don't know why God would call someone like me to be a pastor. I recognize myself as a really great sinner. If you're watching this, if you're thinking like, I don't belong with God's people, I don't belong in God's household, I could never clean myself up enough to be there, that's great. You're in good company. We welcome you into the church of God, into the fold of God, where nobody has gotten here because of something great that they've done, but only because of the great work that Jesus did. That's why he came into the world, not to teach us to live some great moral life because he knew we never could, but so that he could live a great moral life and then save sinners, of which I am the worst of them. hopefully you recognize some of your own spiritual poverty, some of the void in your life of moral excellence, to which you think, if God looked at me, if God knew who I am, which, spoiler alert, he does, that he would say, be gone. You can't sit in my presence. Yet, because of the work of Jesus, because of what he came to the earth to do, what we stop to celebrate at Christmas is that this perfect man, the God-man, Jesus Christ, came. He lived the life that we could never live, the life that we want to live but can't, and then he died on our behalf. That's how he saves sinners, is through his death. This baby we celebrate, this baby born at Christmas time, was born to die for sinners like you and like me, of whom we are the worst, right? This saying is trustworthy. This saying is deserving of full acceptance. This baby was born to die, right? Have you accepted this? It's worthy of full acceptance to bank your life upon it. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and he saves them by dying for them. That's what we pause to celebrate this time of the year. That there are many theories out there about how humanity can be saved, how humanity can find their fulfillment, or how you can live a good life. But only Christianity says that you can never do that. But Jesus came to save sinners, that he came to save you. He came to give you eternal life, not so you could live your best life, although your best life will be found in Jesus, but so that you could actually have life in general. Because the reality is, if you're rooting yourself in this story of redemption told in Scripture, ever since our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the garden, ate that fruit, right? If you know the story, hopefully you do. If not, go read Genesis 3, it's there. But God says to them, the day you eat of that fruit, surely you will die. By eating that fruit, humanity has been consigned to death. That's what we get. But Jesus came to save us from death, to save us from separation from God. In him, you find not your best life, but really just life in general, because you're on a one-way ticket to death. That's the reality. So Jesus came to save us from that. This baby was born to die so that we don't have to die. I don't know about you, but I'm in this season where it just seems like everywhere I look, there's a lot of suffering, there's a lot of pain, and yet we can have hope because we can look to Scripture. We can look to this person of Jesus, this man who came into the world to save sinners like you and me. So bank on that. It's trustworthy. It's deserving of full acceptance. That's what we celebrate this time of year in the church. God's people, sinners called to be saints because of what Jesus has done, because his blood paid the price for us to be welcomed into the fold of God, to be adopted into God's family as his children. This child would come so that we could become children of God. That's what we celebrate this time of year. So that's it. I'm going to leave it there. Merry Christmas. I'll see you in the new year.